NBC Sports Show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audiovisual Consultations.
What would you say you do here?
I don't like to brag, but I do a pretty convincing Omar from the HBO program The Wire.
I manage a baseball team.
Little league?
Fantasy league.
All your fantasy sports updates.
Fantasy what?
Fantasy baseball. Got Matsui.
He's worth a million in prizes.
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
Hey, I got a hockey record.
That's interesting, man.
Now, the host from the East Coast. Here's Wags.
That was pretty classy.
Austin, Texas. It is the Wagner Wire on 1049, 1019 AM 1260. You stream it live at hornfm.com. You can always take us with you wherever you go. If you're outside of our Fairburg, go to the Horn app. That's right. If you're an Android user, you can go on your Google Play Store, or you can, if you're an iOS user, go on to the iTunes Store. Look up the Horn ATX or 1049 old school style if you want to. Take us with you wherever you want to go. As long as you got like LTE service. Apparently I don't, because my kid used all of my Wi-Fi or all of my data, and now my wife put like a safety plan on it to where we can't use anything, so I can't even download like the simplest message from Sam. Really cool, really awesome. Restrictions are great.
Yeah, you gotta have that childproof dog.
Let me tell you something. He's like, why can't you just get unlimited data?
I remember those days.
Why can't you get a job and pay the phone bill, bro?
Like, he's like 13,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but he's using all the data. And at least I should be in, you know, allotted one third of the data, right? It shouldn't be a penalty on me if I use my allotment, should it? No, but he wants to use all of it. Kids these days, man. Back in the day, we only had three lives for video games. Just saying.
I mean, I feel that. See, that's you're showing your age when you hit the back in the day. You're showing your age for real.
Welcome to the show. It's Isaiah Collier, my co-host Sam Pikachu, bringing you in and off these Austin radio airwaves on this, dude, what is this, fall? I guess it's fall weather, right? For the first time, we actually have some fall weather on October 25th.
Yeah, fall weather is interesting in Texas. Like, you never know what it's going to be, especially in the ATX. Like,
what do you mean, like it's going to come
yeah,
and go?
Yeah, no, well, you wake up in the morning and it's 40, and then around like noon it's 83, so that's kind of, it throws you off a little bit.
Yeah, we're both in hoodies right now.
Yeah, for now.
But it's, we'll probably have to shed some layers, maybe. You
yeah
think?
I might go OG and go 90s NBA and throw off the windbreakers, and you know how they used to pull them off,
the snap-ons.
I got a couple pairs. I got a couple pairs of breakaways, bro.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah.
Yo, those are legendary.
Easy access, man, the snaps.
Yeah, legendary.
Get on out there, man.
We need to bring back windbreakers.
But how can you make them look good? That's the thing. Can you style them up?
Yeah, just put a gold chain on or something.
We've got to make got to do a little bit more than that. I mean, that's just
it depends
that,
on who you are. I'm sorry. I guess my cool is a little bit different.
I need a little bit more gold.
I don't want to be over your head there, Wag.
No,
I'm
I
sorry.
Just need a little bit more gold. I'm picturing like the starter get-ups. You know what I'm saying? Like
yes.
The 1990 starter get-ups.
Starter jackets. Yes, where you put.
I had one.
Everybody
was,
did.
There was, and but it, you know, I felt bad for the ones that didn't have. The coat white, as my man Bernie used to say, it's you got the cream white, we got the coat white.
What is that?
I don't know. There was like an off white compared to some.
I mean, I know coke white.
Coat. Coat with a T. Coat with a T. Not Coca Cola white.
Ah.
Not Coca Cola white. Like that stripe? No, I'm not talking about that.
Yeah, so which one did you have?
I had the Giants.
The Giants one?
Yeah, but okay. I had it was the tricolor. It had the red, white, and the blue, but it only had the white just on the shoulder patch right there, and then it had the blue going all down, and then it had the red. It had the red with the trim.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was sexy, man. It was hot.
Yeah.
But I was the only dude in Baltimore with the Giants coat.
See, so you had to worry about not getting
and
jumped.
And Brunswick too, yeah.
Okay. See, I had the Magic one, like Orlando Magic, Shaquille O'Neal. I was a huge Shaq fan.
And that was coat white too, or that was coat white, yeah, not cream white.
It was the blue and black one.
Yeah, but
there wasn't much white in it.
But on the shoulders, didn't it have?
Maybe I was a little kid. I have no idea.
Like had some trim, I think so. And then when I was going through like some vintage gear back in the basement of my grandma's house,
I found an old school Maryland one.
Ooh.
Like with the black and the gold trim.
See, that's the thing with Maryland. When y'all had the gold in there, or I thought it was yellow. Y'all say it's gold. People think
it's
yellow.
It's yellow,
soft.
But we say gold. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like it's like the Lakers are purple and yellow, but we always say gold.
Yeah.
Right?
Yellow isn't soft. Like, I don't know why people think that yellow. I like yellow, too.
You can't. It's hard to get. Yellow and orange are one of my favorite colors.
Yeah.
We can probably pull out the primary color wheel now.
Yeah, seriously. I don't know what you're talking about on that primary.
I'm just trying to get artsy with it.
I'm not very artsy. With the homie with the afro, I never used to watch him. What was his name, Sam?
Bob Ross.
Bobby, man.
I knew Sam knew.
Because
Sam
Bobby.
Watches that.
Bob Ross. We're going to put a little lonely tree here. That's right. And maybe you have it shine across.
Yeah, he was over my
reflection.
Head.
See, the sky should reflect the water a little bit here. And then we have these group of pine trees that they're going to be off in their little lonesome here in the foreground. But then when we get into the background, you get a little bit of scaling hills and rolling hills when it gets into the mountain there.
Is that how he sounds, Sam?
Oh, yeah. That's pretty accurate, bro.
Okay. You're good at impersonations. I don't listen to
him.
I'm
all right, man. I'm all right. I might have something with it. I hope I get discovered
solid
somewhere.
Solid Craig way also.
I do. Well, I mean, it takes me. You got to listen to him every now and then. I've worked with Craig a lot, man. I can get Craig down good, dude.
You do a solid Craig
way. Yeah, I can get down on some stuff. All right, how we doing? We're having some fun today, obviously. What? Anybody following this Antonio Brown story?
I mean, with the Bucks,
it was looking great for Tampa Bay, but man, you got to put some brakes on it. That's probably going to be the theme. We're going to have Al Walsh come on at 10:30. He's going to talk about that. Hey, we need to make a show announcement here. It's an abbreviated show, only 2 hours today because of the Cowboys pregame show. Ari Temkin's going to take over around 12 o'clock. And usually we would get you started with the kickoffs there, but no. Cowboys are going to play early. They got the noon game, the noon game. So Ari Temkin is going to take over around 11 o'clock, get you guys started there. I believe Brian Broaddus is on the call or for the pregame show with them as well. So that's a pretty cool tandem for the Cowboys pregame. Make sure you guys are tuning into that. But we got a lot to break down for Antonio Brown going to Tampa Bay and all kinds of news going around the league. How about Michael Thomas now. Michael Thomas might be up for a trade in New Orleans Saints. So we'll see where some options are for him or maybe some landing spots. Get your guys' opinion on that. But, yeah, you guys are always invited to be a part of the conversation. You can hit me up on Twitter at NotTheFakeWag. Zay is at AintThat_Zay. Sam refuses to play the game, of course, but you're invited to join us conventionally. Hit us up 512-447-3776. That's the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. Or hit us up on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. Got J.D. Lewis coming on the show also, and at 9:30, he's going to break down a little bit of this Antonio Brown and some of the best fantasy football plays for this weekend, man. But it's going to be a groovy one, dude. It's going to be wild and crazy. What do you guys? Did you guys watch the World Series last night?
Hell yeah, I watched that. That was nuts.
No, I was so out of baseball until postseason started. Like, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was just like the 60 game schedule or whatnot. I just couldn't really get into it. I even had fantasy baseball teams. I don't know. I just couldn't buy in for some reason. I don't know what it was.
There's so many different sports going on. Like, you were in the hockey
I was in the NBA, yeah.
Yeah, so now you're kind of sobering up.
And we need
from
something,
that.
Right? We need something to dig into, man.
Yeah.
Police Chief Cantu says, good morning, gents. Hey, good morning, Chief. How are you? There you go. We were deep into NBA, man. But now, dude, I mean, we kind of have to go to baseball.
Yeah, I'm good
exciting. Not that I don't want to be in baseball, but I'd like to see the Orioles there. I'm not going to lie.
Now you're just hoping stuff that has no chance of happening anytime soon.
It'll never happen.
Like,
not my lifetime. I don't think the Orioles will go to the World Series.
Yeah.
We'll always get in the way. Or Angelos will always get in the way.
So that's your problem. It's hard for you to watch because you have so much.
Misery loves company. And I say that with a smile on my face.
See, like, you've invested way too much in your Giants.
I'm clearly watching the World Series, man. That was some wild. First off, I thought it was going to be all L.A. I thought all L.A. was going to come out and dominate. And then it was just back and forth, seesaw with Tampa Bay, man. If you're any type of a fan of these two teams, your heart's got to be scrambling. Because my heart was racing, and I don't even have invested interest except for just wanting to watch the game. So it was crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy because the Dodgers, they have so much star and firepower. while like the Rays, like you see their firepower and like their stars are just now becoming stars.
Yeah. And then when you whenever I see Kenley Jensen come into the game, I think it's lights out, or I'm used to thinking it's lights out, but not with this team. Like there's just perseverance in this team, just a wild turn of events there at the last out. One, I thought he was going to get weighed back, and then he's going to get in a pickle, and then all of a sudden the catcher drops the ball.
Bro, why are you laughing, man? This is the World Series.
Because it's well,
you're
I
the
mean,
type of guy that laughs at Buckner. Like that's
I do,
just, that's
I do
cold,
because
man.
I do
you are
because
cold.
It's I've been in tight situations. Like I've been in situations where I failed really hard. You know what I mean?
I have too.
You just gotta laugh it off, dude. It's just sports, right?
Yeah, I've missed big time free throws also in
it's
games.
The pinnacle
like,
of their career, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, it was brutal, and I don't really like to blame anybody. Like he should have caught the ball, and you know. In the field, like that's what should have happened first. He dropped that, and then that kind of messed everything up, and it was just crazy. Like it was crazy. One of my favorite things about this World Series, you know, especially coming from a brother's perspective, Wags, Dave Roberts looks like that one brother at the cookout that like dances with your girl all the time, and he's like your uncle. He's like, oh, he's like, man, what's Unc doing? Like, what's Uncle Dave? What's Uncle
Does
Dave
he got,
doing?
Now
he's
see,
like, he's
got a cigar in the mouth.
No, he smokes that on his break.
Okay,
but he's dancing with your girl.
He's not giving it
during
like
some. Yeah, yeah, with like My Girl from Temptations playing.
Oh yeah, he's got Smokey he's dancing, in the background. Yeah,
yeah
or something
like
that.
Let me see your girl, Young Blood. Let me show you a little something.
Let me show you some steps.
Yeah, let me show you these steps real quick, Young Blood. Like that's how Dave Roberts
smooth.
Looks. Yeah, smooth. But then he also has that same like uncle disgust. When things go wrong, like when they show him when the Dodgers mess up or something, and he has that, like, he's shaking his head and has that disgust. Like, I've seen that look a lot of times. Like, I have an uncle that looks just like Dave Roberts.
Yeah, but usually, like, most of the time, for me, it's Uncle Les. Like, Uncle Les is the dude that's just smooth and usually just, you know, he's not just eyeing up the grill, he's eyeing up the food, too. I mean, he's not just what's on the grill, what's on your plate.
See, Dave Roberts is like he cooks the food.
And snatches what's on your... Hold on. I gave you a little bit too much there. Come here. At least that's what happens in my cookout, man. Or that's what my granddad used to do. Wait. I gave you too much there. Bring that back here. Come on. That's a good piece. That's my piece.
So I'm confused because people are talking about Dave getting fired if he doesn't win this World Series.
He's been on the hot seat the past couple of times he's been in the World Series.
But, like, people have cheated against him. Like, he can't help that.
That's a very valid point.
What do you say if people are cheating to win? Can we not, like, exclude
that?
But
isn't everybody cheating in baseball? I mean, isn't that the old adage?
See, I don't know.
Everybody's, they're not cheating. They're just trying to get that advantage.
I'm not the biggest baseball guy, but when I am, I'm part of the purist club.
I
am part of keep the NL with the pitcher's bat and knife.
I'm with you. No, I'm with you.
Know, keep the AL with the DH. Like, I am old.
Old school, yeah.
Old school Jackie Robinson flow guy.
Get it? No, I'm there, too. I appreciate the designated hitter in one league and then the pitchers having to hit in the other league. Because I like to see, you know, pitchers like Madison Bumgarner. Now, look, I know the stipulations out there is that he's paid for his arm and he's not paid to rake. But it's still fun, right, when – pitchers can't just essentially count on that automatic out from the next pitcher. You know what I mean? When they
right.
actually have to, kind of maybe pitch around the pitcher if he's actually decent at hitting to get to, an eight hitter or maybe a nine hitter. Because sometimes you'll see managers flop the pitcher and put him in the eight hole instead of the nine hole.
See, I'm such a hypocrite because that sounds awful. I'm talking about being a purist, and you're talking about the details of the game, and I'm like, yeah, forget that. Let's just keep it all DH at the end of the day.
Because it's easier?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Okay, no, I get that, man. But no, I really appreciate it. Anyways, it was a wild World Series, man. And 8-7 was the final there. Rays taking over the Dodgers there, making it 2-2. I thought that after the first inning, you know, once the Dodgers get ahead, usually I'm thinking that they're going to win. It's just so hard for this Tampa Bay team, for me, they're just built around their arms, right? And they're built around their pitching, which usually is what gets you to the World Series anyways, is dominant pitching. And I just don't think that this offense is built to come back from big leads. Now, look, the lead was only one, I believe, at the end of the first frame. At the end of the first frame. But then it extended out to about two. And then that's when the bats came alive for the Rays. Usually when Kenley Jensen comes into the game, Zay, I always think it's lights out. He's been my fantasy baseball closer for a while now, and he's got a dominant arm, and he's got some nasty stuff, and I don't know, he can get touched up there, definitely, but it's going to be a wild one now. We'll see what happens going into this series. Who do you like going forward? Do you think the Dodgers are still in control here, or do you think it's going to be the Rays?
Man, I feel like the Rays have the momentum because they have less to lose. Like I said, people are talking about Dave Roberts being on the hot seat. And, you know, the Dodgers know that. They know they've been in these situations before. And how many, you know, opportunities do you get at the end of the day, especially in baseball?
Right.
You know, and with this Mookie Betts contract, like, are you going to be able to pay all of these guys, you know, coming up that are really young? At the end of the day, like, you're not going to have this team
forever. No, that's just it, man.
Like, that Mookie Betts contract is
hefty. It's going to hit.
It's going to hit sooner or later. Because all these guys, like, I don't know, like, Seager, he's fairly young, and Bellinger, and, you know, all these guys are really young, and I don't know their contract situations, but I know Mookie Betts' contract situation. And I know those guys are young and up and coming, and when you become a free agent, you know, at the end of the day, you got to worry about you. And
100, yeah.
You know, maybe they're cool enough to take cuts and understand that, hey, we got a certain opportunity that we definitely can't waste. But again, like, what is this, their third World Series?
And I think in 5 years, yeah.
Yeah, because they got really close when the Cubs won it. That 1 year too, like they were battling.
No, this ball club, like, has been nasty.
They're always
for a while.
There.
Yeah,
they're always there.
If you ask me, I think the Padres are close. I think they're next, but I mean, maybe it was just a little bit of mental domination, you know, in this past postseason, in this recent postseason, where the Dodgers were able to best the Padres. But I think I don't know if the bats can stay alive for Tampa Bay. You know, I really believe that the firepower just exists, you know, in the national or on the National League side here with the Dodgers. And I also think that they have the dominant pitching. Well, I think the Rays have the better pitching, but I think that the Dodgers pitching has enough to sustain, I guess, the rest of the arms, the remainder of the arms left for Tampa Bay. They've been using a lot of arms right now. Let's see how their bullpen can finish out. Usually that's the taxing era, right? When you can get, you know, some innings into that bullpen. Absolutely. I don't know. And now we got Antonio Brown going to Tampa Bay, a 1 year deal. Tom Brady gets another weapon. We'll have to talk a little bit more about that on the other side. We'll have JD Lewis coming onto the show. He's going to break that down a little bit for us.
My guy, legend.
Which
junior
one?
College legend.
JD?
Yo.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, man. He's a drop
Hoops,
like 30.
Hoops, dude. People don't know that either, man.
Yo,
a lot of people don't know. We'll have to have him share some stories too, man.
I know. I don't want to get him off topic. I know he's coming off for a specific reason.
We'll have some time. We'll have about 20 minutes or so.
He's, you know what I mean? He's dropped 40 in junior college games. Like that, I don't really think people understand how hard that is.
We have to get this dude on the rec team. On the adult league.
No,
team.
He's too good for that.
No, he's not, man.
He's too good
for
that.
He would do it. What if we paid him?
Don't disrespect JD.
What if we paid him?
We can't. We don't get paid enough for
we
that.
We give him a contract.
No, we're still disrespecting
him. We'll talk
him.
About that on the other side. Man, it's the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Stream live at hornfm.com. Adult league.
I'm kicking brand new flavor in your air. Max, brand new flavor in your air. Ha!
Now, back to the Wagner Wire.
Welcome back to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. You stream it live at hornfm.com. You can take us anywhere. If you're outside of our Fairburg, just go to the Google Play Store if you're an Android user, or go to the iTunes Store, go to the iTunes Store if you are a iOS user. All right, Zay, so you talked about this dude being a JUCO just legend, but I know him as being a fantasy football legend. He joins our radio airwaves now. JD Lewis joins the show. Welcome to the show, JD. Talk a little bit real quick before your we get into a little bit of Antonio Brown and Michael Thomas, potential Michael Thomas destinations for fantasy football, JD. Talk a little bit about your legendary, I guess, basketball hoopness there for college hoops.
Well, I had no idea it was legendary, but I will take that any day of the week. I played at Midland Junior College and had a great coach and a great system. And, I think my coach there, Grant McCaslin, now he was a Baylor assistant coach for a long time while I was still playing at Texas. And I think I believe he's at North Texas now running that. So just, it was a great system, a great setup. And we had a lot of good players around me as well that helped me get open to shoot a lot of threes, and that's the one thing I can do.
That's what Zay says. He says you drop about 40 a game, man.
Oh, that was a
I had some good games. I did. I had a few 40-pointers. I'm not going to lie. I did have a lot. But again, a guy like me can't go score 40 points just one-on-one with anybody.
Right.
So it's all about the system. We ran that Duke system that J.J. Redick basically ran. And so it's guys looking to screen all the time and then getting open off of the screen and the attention that the three-point shooter coming off of those screens is creating. So it was a perfect system for me.
Yeah, J.D., Zay here. I went to Paris Junior College 1 year, and I know how loaded those leagues are and how talented players are in that league. I was way over my head. I had no chance. That's why I came back home. But yeah, the fact that you dropped 40 in those leagues is absolutely remarkable. You're a junior college legend in my book. You can't tell me otherwise.
I appreciate that.
All right, brother. Well, we got you on the show for your fantasy football expertise, man. You're one of the best in the business for sure, especially in this Fairburg. What do you think about the Antonio Brown situation, especially going to Tampa Bay? Things looked great for Tampa Bay and Tom Brady moving forward. His brand was getting established, TB12 in Tampa Bay. Gronkowski finally getting back into the mix after a couple of years. And now you insert Antonio Brown. Could this maybe implode?
It certainly could implode. I think that Tom Brady's been pushing for Antonio Brown and to play with him for a while. And so I think that when you look at just an overall fantasy value of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, there's no question that Tom Brady gets a lot more valuable. I mean, he'd added a new weapon. That's fantastic. That probably means more goal line carries, a little bit better of an offense. So maybe Ronald Jones benefits from this a little bit as well. But when you look at Chris Godwin, you look at Mike Evans, and you look at Antonio Brown, I just think that all three of those guys, I mean, that's too many mouths to feed. And you mentioned Gronk as well. So there's so many guys there that can have really solid production. What you're going to see is a lack of consistency week to week from them. I think that Chris Godwin's still going to have a pretty good role here. Mike Evans is still going to be a red zone threat. But Antonio Brown's going to get a lot of looks from Tom Brady. But when I'm looking at just Antonio Brown specifically, I think that there is a fit for some teams, but not all teams. Like if you're 5-1, you've got a really good team. You've got a good roster. You're not dropping a guy like a Justin Jefferson or something to go pick up an Antonio Brown. And so there's a fit for him, and it's on the 2-4 teams, the teams that have nothing to lose, the teams that are okay taking a gamble on a guy that is going to play for the first time in 2.5 years. I mean, that's just that to me, I can't get over the fact that he's now 32. The last time we saw him, he was like 30.
Right.
And so I don't know what's happened these last couple of years. And it's hard to trust that. And then also now you're talking about as soon as he really gets up and going, you're in weeks 12, 13, 14, you're going into the playoffs. Can you really trust a guy going into the playoffs in that situation? I love it for Tom Brady, but I don't like it for any of the other receivers there in Tampa Bay.
Now, and you mentioned, a lot of people or a lot of players on this Tampa Bay team are going to have to be fed, right? A lot of mouths to feed. And you mentioned the looks that Antonio Brown could still be getting, decent targets. What do you expect his targets to be? Maybe 7-10 or in the ball frame or in a ballpark of 10-15? That seems a little bit 10-15 seems a little bit outlandish, right?
Totally agree. Yeah, I think it's 7-10. I mean, early on it's going to be 4, 5, or 6. I mean, really And you look at Arian's system, too. I mean, what's he really want to do? They want to get the ball to the slot guy. So is he going to come in and now are they going to shift Godwin back on the outside where he's not nearly as good and effective as he is in the slot? Antonio Brown can do all of it. So they're going to shift him all over the place. They're going to find a way to get him the ball on the right plays, but they're not going to totally forget about their other guys, especially their guys that are their future. I mean, you can't burn bridges with Chris Godwin and with Mike Evans. I mean, yeah, you want to go win a championship this year, but you can't just set all of your young guys ablaze because you've got Antonio Brown now, who's 32, and quite honestly, might only be with you for 9 games this year.
Correct, yeah, and that's just it. So it looks good on paper for the team of Tampa Bay and for Tom Brady because he just gets another weapon. So surely his value goes up. But, again, you have been advised, fantasy goers, if you are in the ballpark of 5-1 or 4-2, not to make a move on Antonio Brown. If you're in the 2-4 ballpark, why not? There's some chips out there, a chip, a chair, and a prayer. JD advises that as well. Let's turn to Michael Thomas owners here, JD. What do you speculate with this now? Now, three weeks in a row, no Michael Thomas. People speculated it could have been an injury, but now it's looking like it's some in-house sources.
Well, it still feels like it's hamstring. I mean, he has the new hamstring injury, and there's also reports that have just come out recently that I really just saw about 10 minutes ago that he might even be in jeopardy of missing week 8. And if they're already saying that, that to me, I speculatively, I have no idea what's going on in there. I think it's the injuries. The fact that the reports came out that they might be willing to listen to trade offers, and then Sean Payton from his verified Twitter account came out and said that those are the insiders that are on the outside. And I'm pretty sure they're not going to trade him. They did the same thing with Alvin Kamara before they signed him. They've already signed Michael Thomas to a big deal. If somebody blew their socks away on an offer, they would listen. There's no question about it. Nobody's going to do that. Not with that big of a salary, not with the reports that he might be something similar to what was going through with Antonio Brown recently. I mean, the guy's just a competitor. He wants to win. They've got to get that figured out there. But I never used to think about these things as that big of a deal before the Antonio Brown stuff. And now I'm like, wow, are these guys really that big of divas? Are things that are this crazy going on off of the field that we just have no idea about because it was hidden so well for 8 years in Pittsburgh by Mike Tomlin and all those guys to enable Antonio Brown. So the Thomas situation, I think he'll be back. I think that they need him, and I believe he will not get traded. I would be so shocked if they let him go. Now, the question is, does this second hamstring injury, is it really that bad to where it's going to keep him out multiple weeks longer? That's what worries me more than anything. But what else can you do but just kind of hold on to Michael Thomas right now?
JD, one of the most interesting players to me right now is Carson Wentz, especially with how the Philadelphia Eagles are playing. But if you look with how Carson Wentz has been playing, he's been kind of productive these last few weeks. Can you tell me anything about Carson Wentz, you know, especially with the way the Eagles are playing, that might be surprising?
You got to like the way that it's trending, and there's no question it's surprising, and it can only really get better for Carson Wentz because the O-line has been so banged up, and they're starting to get some chemistry, starting to play with each other a little bit better. Miles Sanders is going to come back, but that offense is going to tick with Carson Wentz. They've got a pretty good defense, but a defense that can give up some points still, so they need Wentz to be pushing it, and they're going to be in a lot of games. They're never just out of it. And when they are out of it, it's not because they're blowing anybody out and running the ball out. It's because they're getting blown out and they're going to have to keep passing. So from a fantasy perspective, Carson Wentz is really silently, these last few weeks, he's putting together some great games and he's finally finding some receivers. I mean, Travis Fulgham has been huge for him. Jalen Reagor is going to come back. It looks like Goddard won't be back until week 10 and Ertz probably not until 12 or 13. But once he starts getting those weapons back too at just the right time, I feel like they could be clicking pretty well. So I'm with you. I'm liking Carson Wentz, but I don't think a lot of people, I don't think the word's out on Wentz really. If you are in need of a quarterback, I think you could still go get him fairly cheap because I don't think a lot of people realize just how valuable he has been lately and how that situation is going to keep his floor really high and his ceiling is still, you know, it's probably 35 points in a little bit of a high scoring game, but in terms of his fantasy production. But again, that's a lot better than most, and he's going to get you at least 20 every single week. So I'm with you. I'm with you, Zay. I like Carson Wentz.
Hey, JD, since we're talking about quarterbacks, I got to shift the conversation over to the Miami Dolphins and talk about the craziest quarterback controversy that I would have to say for this year in 2020, right? Ryan Fitzpatrick gets benched for Tua Tagovailoa. I am with some of the pundits that think that this is a bad move. I believe that you are on the other side that say, why not go with Tua right now? My only issue is this. Fitzmagic comes in. His only bad game was week one, when he put up 8 fantasy points. But then he's produced 24, almost 25 points per game. 24, 24, 23, 27, and then 18 right now. He's got the bye week. This is a good chance for Tua to come in with the ones and get some more play. But for me, I look at it as a precautionary, maybe a just a conservative type of play here, because I don't want to at least have what I think is going to be my dynasty quarterback, or at least my 10-year quarterback, right, that I can have for at least a decade here. I don't want to maybe have him vulnerable or, you know, have him injured just in the first couple of weeks, because I think we might have a shot to get him some reps. That's just my thing looking at this. You have Tua playing, or excuse me, you have Ryan Fitzpatrick playing decent right now, able to have this Miami Dolphins team in place to maybe contest for the division for the first time in a while. I just don't think that the move is right, or maybe the timing's right. What's your opinion on this?
My thoughts are, what is your goal as the Miami Dolphins? If you're just thinking from kind of the upper management, and what is your goal? Are you a championship team this year? No. I mean, yeah, could you contend for the division, maybe make the playoffs? Sure. Is that the goal? Like, I think so, but if you have Tua at quarterback, because I do believe that their plan all along was to bring Tua in after the bye, which was originally supposed to be in week 10. So Tua was going to have some more time, come in week 11. And I think that was the plan all along. And then COVID happened, the byes shifted around, it got pushed up, and the coaches had to make a difficult decision, but one that they had been intending to make from the beginning of the year, so long as Tua was 100% healthy and they could see that throughout the year in practice. I think that they saw that. I believe the Dolphins are a little surprised that they're 3-3 and surprised that Fitzpatrick is playing as well as he is. But put into a, in my opinion, if you truly believe he's 100% healthy and ready, I'm not worried about the injury risk that's always going to be there with him on the field. I want him out there. And if he doesn't do well, that's the biggest risk to me, is the psyche, is the mental aspect, right? If he gets out there behind a bad offensive line, doesn't do well, starts seeing ghosts, all of that kind of stuff, that's the biggest risk here. But if that does happen, you end up with a worse record, you get a higher draft pick, and you're set up more for next year, unless you totally crater the kid's confidence. But that's the biggest risk. So I think that internally, and what they see day to day, they're going, Tua is ready. Time to put him in the game, and Fitzpatrick's not going to lead us to a championship, so let's do it now.
Speaking with JD Lewis, you can find him on Twitter at JDLewisFF for fantasy football there. I guess my biggest concern is, I know it's a traumatic injury with the, you know, the dislocated pelvis or the dislocated hip, but to me, I just think that it's too much of a risk. It's too bad of an injury to risk your franchise quarterback. That's just where I'm looking at it. Now, I agree, 3-3, I don't think you're going to make any push to win the conference. Maybe you can win the division, but do you really want to win the division? That's my question now, right? Do you want to establish draft picks? But you make a really good point, an awesome point that kind of, you know, speaks to my argument. You have a terrible line. I just think you're subjecting him a little bit more to injury or a little bit more to risk injury with that line that he has, you know, being somewhat of a makeshift line.
Yeah, and, you know, one other thing that nobody really is talking about is, and I'm self-admitted, I'm a basketball player, right? But I've caught a few different footballs, both from right-handed and left-handed throwers, and it's a little bit different when you've got that opposite spin coming from a lefty than you do from a righty. So that's kind of another little interesting kink that I'll be paying attention to see how these receivers kind of react to that after having played with Fitzpatrick for a year and a half.
So what do you do if you're Fitzpatrick owners? I mean, obviously you're not going to get anything out of him. Do you think the Dolphins maybe look to trade him? I mean, he's a veteran quarterback. It looks like he's probably going to have his role as the mentor for Tua Tagovailoa moving forward.
Well, when you start talking about the injury risk that Tua still presents, I mean, you're going to want to have a viable backup that you can play for at least the remainder of this year, and not totally tank it if something were to happen to Tua. Plus, I don't think you get any kind of a return for Ryan Fitzpatrick, really.
Right.
I mean,
nothing.
Yeah, what's the market for Fitzpatrick from other teams that's not there? I mean, the Cowboys aren't going to be making a run for Fitzpatrick when they've got Dalton and they're paying him, and even though he's running for his life behind the Noah line, which is so weird to say about Dallas these days. But I will, yeah, that's kind of, and as we kind of talk about that, that's, I feel like the Washington football team defense would be a pretty good play today. I think they're going to be harassing Andy Dalton all day long.
Excellent segue, JD. Let's move into daily fantasy sports for fantasy football here. What are some of the key plays that you think for today?
Well, I mean, the one, and I say this because I traded this guy away, so I know he's going to go off, is Kareem Hunt. I mean,
what, you just got a gut feeling, you know?
Yeah, gut feeling, a top three guy is going to go off, right? No, I just, that was really my way of saying, like, it's going to kill me watching him go off because I traded him away for a Christian McCaffrey.
Now, what was your offer to get Christian McCaffrey? Is it a dynasty league or is it just a straight up fan or standard league?
Keeper league.
Okay.
So it is a keeper league. So Hunt was a $5 keeper and McCaffrey was way overpaid for. So I will be not keeping McCaffrey, but I will have him for the run. I'm 4-1-1. Yeah, that's right. I have a tie.
Nice.
Really sucked. It was a Derrick Henry 20-yard touchdown run at the end of the game. Gave the guy a tie to me. So it was just, it's horrible. Anyways, I digress. Yeah, it was Kareem Hunt. And for a team that could basically carry me for another couple of weeks while McCaffrey gets back and up and going, and then just have him ready come kind of week 10 and then for the playoff run. So Kareem Hunt was what I had to give up to a guy that needed to win now to even worry about once Chubb comes back. So he needed to, it made sense for both teams, but I'm a little bit worried just that I'm going to see Hunt score about 40 today.
Right on. Well, let's go from one impressive running back to probably the most dominant running back into the NFL. I have ownership, about 84% ownership on Derrick Henry across all of my leagues. I have been advising people that if you do have ownership on Derrick Henry, that maybe this is the time to start trading him just because the wheels could be adding up. Now, I know he's still in dominant form. He's in beast mode right now. He's one of the most automatic running backs that we've seen in a while. If not now, when do you think you would advise people to start trading Derrick Henry to get the most optimal value off of his trade market?
Well, now would be the time because of the loss of Taylor Lewan last week, the tackle, stud tackle for them, probably one of their best offensive linemen. They still got a really good O-line, but it definitely has taken a hit with him being out for the season. And so you have that loss. You have the fact that Ryan Tannehill's throwing the ball really well. They're able to spread it out really well. It's surprising to see with Jonnu Smith and
Corey
Davis and with Adam Humphries and just the speedster, the Ratliff guy. I just feel like that they're in a great position to be able to air the ball out. So, yeah, now's a good time to trade him. But I also see his value still continuing in a high-powered offense where he's going to get every single goal line touch pretty much that there is. I'm impressed that you've got him in 83% of your league, honest with you.
Well, for about four leagues, four or five leagues, I have Derrick Henry, and two of them are keeper leagues. And then one of them is actually, of those keeper leagues, a dynasty league. So, I mean, he's
PPR or at least half PPR?
Half PPR in three of them, and then PPR in one of them, and then the other one's standard.
So that's my thing with Derrick Henry is that, like, in my PPR leagues, there's always that negative, oh, he just doesn't catch any balls, so I shouldn't take him. But the guy just continues to be a top three, top five running back no matter what. And so it's like I even have a hard time trading him away right now, but yes, his value is at his peak value right at this moment, and that is always the right time to trade.
Okay.
I made a trade a few weeks back with Alvin Kamara after he came off his 50-point game. That's when you sell guys. Sell them high.
So then you can sympathize with my reluctancy here, right? Because I want to get as much value that I can off of him, but I want to ride this out because I think I have an actually good shot. I mean, this one payoff is about $1,200 just in the pot. It's come all, take all. So, I mean, why not roll with
it? I certainly wouldn't trade him in all your leagues. The only reason, and this is when you start talking about when you're in more than two or three leagues, you have to start thinking about things a little bit differently. When you're in 5, 7, 10 leagues, I start thinking more diversification. And so, I love Derrick Henry, but I would love to get another stud for him, and maybe I'm getting two studs. I certainly don't want Derrick Henry to be the best player getting traded away in the deal. I want to be packaging him with somebody to be getting even better. But again, we talk about that bias of people don't understand just how dominant Derrick Henry is, and so you got to find that right owner to trade with that will give you the correct value that makes sense for you to unload him.
And I think maybe the only other running back that was as dominant was probably McCaffrey, and then on the other side of that, maybe Dalvin Cook, but then both of those guys broke. So you're seeing the durability of the workhorse of Derrick Henry, and then that's what I'm saying, man. I think you trade him now, and you get some good value on the return on investment, man. But, then everything could go wrong. I'm in first place for a reason in most of my leagues, and I think it's because of Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and when I'm in first place, I have a hard time making deals like that.
100.
I usually don't want to make that trade, but But yeah, I mean, again, it's just got to be the right.
Because you
got
to think, you got to think about your future too, right? You want to sustain at least a dominance for a couple more years. You got to have productivity moving forward. All right, JD, that's about as much time we have for you, brother. It's always great having you on. You break down the show, you know, you break down fantasy football by the numbers to a T. That it's tremendous. I wish we could have you in studio, but you know, stupid COVID here and restrictions. But we'll get through it, man. You know, as you know, that old adage is, this too will pass. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, man. I'm looking forward to getting back in there with you guys someday soon.
All right, brother. Talk to you soon, man. Thanks for coming on the show, and you have a great Sunday, brother. Enjoy the rest of your NFL Sunday. Absolutely, man. It's always a pleasure coming on. The Hooper, man. Legendary Hooper. JUCO Hooper for dropping 40. That's J.D. Lewis right there. You can find him on Twitter at JDLewisFF for fantasy football. He's... you know, legendary Hooper for
he's Zay. So versatile.
He's gonna make me the legendary Hooper believer that he is.
Hooper, so. Fantasy football, like just like versatile, man.
I can see this dude drop. I'm telling you, I didn't ask him. You knew I wanted to. I was getting ready to ask him to join the squad.
Please don't. I wanted disrespect to. Him.
I'm not. I'm kind of throwing it out there passively because I'm hoping that he's listening.
Don't disrespect
JD.
Him.
We got an awesome squad, man. But we could actually take it down. We could take down Brushy. We could take down Brushy Creek with you, like that. I'm saying we'd pay. We'd find
somebody.
We would find somebody to pay. Working at the car wash. Yeah, boy, getting there real deep. Like, oh. All right, man, we're having a lot of fun here on the Wagner Wire. Don't go nowhere. We got more fantasy football questions and answers on the other side. It's 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. You stream it live at hornfm.com.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire.
Welcome back to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. You stream it live at hornfm.com. We're going to go to the Specs text line and answer some of your fantasy football questions right now. I have to start 3 of 5. I got A. Cooper, Scary Terry McLaurin, Josh Jacobs, Williams, and Jones. Bad weather in Washington, have to go to church. Can you text the response? Thanks, Wags. Okay, so you got to start 3 of 5. I'm liking it. Man, I wish we would have had, if this was a PPR, I'm going to say Jones. I like Jones. I like Jacobs. And I like McLaurin. If it's PPR, I'm going to go with McLaurin. Jones and Jacobs for sure. I definitely like what JD was talking about with the addition of Antonio Brown, how I think it's going to work out for the running game for Arians and company there for Tampa Bay. So I think Jones is going to be pretty decent. I'll tell you right now, McLaurin, Jacobs, and Jones right now, just based off of a format that you're saying it's PPR. I'm going right there. What you like there?
Well, you know what I read about the Antonio Brown situation that I like is that he has a really good relationship with Brian Leftwich when that goes back to when they were both players in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we talked about Antonio Brown and can he just dismantle a team with his attitude? And I'm one of those, I think it's just all about the situation for a particular player. You know, obviously I'm a basketball guy. If you go back and look at Dennis Rodman, he just didn't play for the Pistons and the Bulls.
Right. No,
he like those he
played for the Spurs. I mean,
yeah, he played for the Spurs, he played for the Lakers, he played for the Mavericks. Like it didn't work out
at
all those
for
places.
The Mavericks,
exactly.
The Mavericks was the last spot, wasn't it?
Yeah, one of the last spots, if not the last. But, you know, it depends on your coaching staff. Your organization,
your support group.
Yeah, your support group. The people around you make a huge difference. And if you don't have that, if you have people that you feel like you could just step over or you feel like you don't respect, which he didn't clearly at the places that he was at, which New England, that was a weird situation. Like, I feel like what happened with, now Vegas.
And he was grateful
Oakland.
For everything that he had in New England, too.
Yeah.
He was grateful for the shot that he had. Like
didn't have time to deal with that. They 100. Didn't have time to answer the 100. Questions. Like, especially when clearly Belichick knew, hey, this is probably Tom's last go.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to squander this for nothing. Like, we're not going to let you come here and be poison and mess this up when we're trying to keep Tom, you know, because he might be skedaddle next year,
for sure.
Which clearly he was.
But now look at the reunion that's happening in Tampa Bay with these two.
Yeah.
Like, so there's, and to that point of support, there's clearly a good relationship, a good bond between Tom Brady and Antonio Brown.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, like I said, with Leftwich and then Arians, like, he's a player's coach, you know? So I'm excited about it. Obviously, everybody can't hold the spoon.
Sure.
And eat, sure. You know, that's, some people have to wait in line for their turn.
No, I feel you. I feel,
and, you know, a lot of people can get a little greedy and a little impatient. And will people do that? We don't know.
We'll see.
That's what we'll see.
We'll see. Sam, I know we got a little bit of we're coming up on our break here, but let's tease just a little bit. What are we looking at for Sam Stash here coming up on the next hour?
I got some of my most punchable people in media.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to make it a quick Sam Stash here because we also got to fit in Who Do You Love as well. But, yeah, we'll definitely get that out there. Don't go anywhere. Hour number two is coming up on the way. But, yeah, nice little Sam Stash, people to punch. You know what else I like? I like to play the game people that I would punch in sports too. Greg Paulus.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a throwback. Like, that's a real Maryland, I hate some Duke basketball type.
I really hate
type.
You, dude. I didn't even want to see you succeed as the quarterback at Syracuse when you left Duke. That's right.
Yeah.
I followed that
athlete.
Dude for a
he
while.
Was an athlete.
I followed that dude for
he
a
was
while.
An athlete.
I didn't like him. He ruined
he
a
athlete.
Lot of my nights, man. I lost a lot of money on that dude.
What's weird is, like, it wasn't like he was a threat or anything.
No,
it wasn't
he
was a superstar, J.J. Redick type player.
But he just had that face, too. He's always crying. Always looked like he was crying about something. All right, don't go nowhere. Hour number one's done. It's done. Hour number two, big shout-out to J.D. Lewis. Thank you for coming on and breaking out some fantasy football. We'll see you guys on the other side. Hour number two of the Wagner Wire. See you.